Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm your host and CEO of Phoenix Business Radio, Karen Nowicki, and I am very excited about the guests that we have in the studio today and, more importantly, our conversation. We are here with the team at Harvest Compassion Centers, and they've been around for 15 years. We're going to find out all that they do and who they serve and how they got started. Let's first start by introducing this fabulous crew. We have Nicole Thompson. She's the Executive Director and Co-Founder. Welcome to the studio, Nicole.
Hi, good morning.
You are the one I think that I connected with to put this together. Do we have someone? Oh, hello. We have Lauren raising her hand saying, it was me. And Lauren Wingate is the grant consultant. Thank you so much for pulling us together.
For sure.
And was it a LinkedIn connection? I can't recall. Or maybe you reached out through our website.
I actually reached out through the website because I was doing some research and happened to come upon you.
So yay.
I'm new to Phoenix, so I'm looking for everything possible.
Well done. You picked the right place.
Thank you.
And where are you from?
I just moved here from Salt Lake.
Okay, so here I was joking earlier when we do a sound check about our lack of fall weather and making it sound like we've all been Arizonans, and now you're letting me know, this is new for me. How long have you been in Arizona?
It's a year and a half, almost 2 years.
So. Okay, so you've been through at least one summer season
and
with us.
It's delightful.
Really, I bet, compared to rain and cold, right?
Yes, right.
Very good. And were you part of the Harvest Compassion Center team before you came?
No, I'm very grateful. I met Nicole at a function that I was at for nonprofits, and we immediately clicked, and then I went to the location, and I was just overwhelmed with how wonderful and different Harvest Compassion Center is.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into that in just a minute, but we would be remiss if we did not introduce you to Heidi Dwiggen.
That's correct.
Oh,
you got
hooray!
It.
Yay! Ding, ding, and ding. Heidi is the Director of Operations for Phoenix. So
yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay. So I can tell there's this beautiful camaraderie among the three of you, and I'm sure your greater team as well. And if we can have Nicole just first of all, kick us off. Tell us who Harvest Compassion Centers is and how you got started.
Yes. So you mentioned 15 years ago. So actually, I have a personal tie to Harvest Compassion Center. I am co-founder with my parents. So the three of us launched our first center about 9 years ago. But 15 years ago, we started our nonprofit. So we have been doing some outreach work in Chicago. I'm also not from born and raised in Arizona. I'm from Chicago.
Okay.
Do not miss the snow as well. So I will live here the rest of my days, absolutely, in Phoenix. But what we wanted to do was actually 15 years ago, we had a tragedy. My brother actually passed away at the age of 23. He was my only brother. And at that time, our lives were, clearly just turned around and not knowing what to do, how to carry on his memory and legacy. And we wanted to do that because he was a 23-year-old kid, I call him. I never saw a mature brother. But he was someone that would just always say yes to anyone on the street, any friend of, hey, do you need help today? Lend a helping hand. He's like, I'm in. He's the first to raise his hand and say, I'll go. I was his older, more mature, right, wise sister who had said, you're crazy. Do not do that. Don't go to Southside Chicago and help those people because it might be dangerous. And he just was very confident in, no, you're helping people. You say yes, you go, you trust that. And how can anything bad come of that? So when we lost Mitch unexpectedly, an accident, we wanted to continue his saying yes, his spreading kindness and love and compassion to others in different ways. So my dad was a driving force that said we're going to open up a foundation in his memory. So it was Mitchell Swabick Foundation. And that quickly grew to Mitchell Swabick Charities, Inc. So now we are a public 501c3 15 years later. We pride ourselves on being open and doing really good work in the community because right when we opened this 15 years ago, our lawyer said, good luck staying open past 3 years, right? Most nonprofits don't because you have to raise money. You have to run it like a business. Yes. Fortunately, we had a lot of really strong people around us that know how to do and build businesses and nonprofits, and we're able to do it very wisely and baby step it along the way. long story short, the recession came, if you all remember that, right? That was a fun period of our time. And we're in buildings, so it was really fun for us. So after the recession, we were looking for just a daily impact at that time anyways. And then just post-recession, it was just the need for, I need food. I need a new shirt. I need hygiene items. I mean, it was just, you know, we all saw it and felt it. My kids started asking about it. Why are people asking for more food all the time? Why is this a conversation? And we had our answer of how do we want to impact our local neighbors in need? Well, we're going to open a food bank and we're going to open a clothing bank and we're going to call it Harvest Compassion Center because we're really just spreading compassion to anyone who walks in our door. So I was actually a teacher. I was a junior high school teacher at the time. My children were 2 and 4. I had my summer off. So that was a nice summer break I got to enjoy. But it was a very odd summer for us. We went and we visited food banks all over the state of Arizona because I knew nothing of that world. We had done outreach work, but it was more building projects and some rehabbing women's shelters and children's shelters. Did some overseas work as well. But I didn't know the climate of food banking in Arizona. Again, I'm from Chicago as well. So for us to do something and do it well, we have to go ahead and immerse ourselves first. So my kids, whether they liked it or not, were along for the ride that summer. And we visited some very odd places. And I just say, we kind of saw the good, bad, ugly of what food banking is in the state of Arizona. And unfortunately, a lot of it was kind of on the ugly side. A lot of it was places that me personally did not want to go back and visit. Even though I got free items, I was told what to take, or, you know, it wasn't very welcoming. It was cinder block and dirty and cold. And sometimes they didn't even smile when they checked me in. I told them why I was there and they still didn't smile. I'm like, hey, I want to do what you do. And okay. So I was like, okay, a lot of notes, a lot of research. And if we do this, we're going to do it elevated, like 1,000%. So about almost 9 years ago, the first Harvest Compassion Center was launched. And it was my parents and I, it was the three of us. We were all still full-time volunteers at that point. And we just baby-stepped it. We're about a 400 square foot room where our model is about choice and dignity and then acceptance. So anybody can come in. So we have no restrictions. I don't have to meet you for the first time, Karen, and say, okay, let me prove to me, Karen, that you're hungry today. There's no dignified way to do that. And after you do all the government paperwork and all the red tape, you still don't know if they're actually hungry, right? So when I kind of looked at it, so we say, if you're humble enough to walk in our door, then you need help. And we're going to give you a hug and we're going to say, great, welcome. Here's a number. Here's a clipboard. Let's get you checked in and let's go ahead and get you through the shopping process, which includes a mini mart, which includes shopping carts, which includes personal shoppers who are all volunteers to help you with a shopping experience of you choosing your own groceries. It's very normal. That was one thing I found too. Why can't it just be like you go to Fry's and you shop, you just go here, Harvest Compassion, and you shop. There's just no checkout line. You know, so it's very simple. And then to have everything, be like a super Walmart. So have your hygiene, have your baby food, have your non-perishables with your perishables, and then have your beautiful clothing boutique. People spend so much money on clothing. So if we can help, you know, bridge that gap of now you have clothes for your kids, now you have food. Well, now you get to save your budget, right? And you get to go ahead and spend that money on your rent, your utilities. So we want to keep people in their homes. So just having that overall model of you get to choose what you're shopping for, which again, less waste, right? Because again, you're picking out what you like to eat. Your kids get to pick out what they like to eat. So we want to be really responsible with the product that we get as well. And that just has a holistic model to it where we get to encourage you. We actually get to pray with our guests that come on in and just love them. And a lot of our guests that come in, we call our clients our guests because it's welcoming guests into our family. And we consider our centers our family, our homes. And, you know, they're just not being loved on. So how can we show love through a food bank, through a clothing bank? And I think we found a pretty cool way to do it. 9 years later, we're still doing it. So something's working. And again, getting those families through our center for what they need. But if they don't need to come back and see us, then don't, right? And now, hey, come back as a volunteer. Come back and donate to us, you know, that type of model where we don't want to keep you there. We want to elevate you and get you back somewhere else too.
I've been to food banks, particularly in Salt Lake, because I donated clothing or donated food, those types of things. And when I walk through these stores, she's being very, very modest, both Heidi as well. It is pristine. It is not like anything you've felt before. And the smells, if you've gone into a food bank before, you smell things that are musty because of the way the clothing has been donated or the way that they put it on the shelves. Oh, no. No, she didn't speak of her mom, but my closet and her mom, the way she set up the clothing portion of this, look the same. They are on velvet hangers and everything. They have an entire laundry in the back so that everything is laundered. Everything is picked through so that it really is something that you will automatically want to walk out the door and wear. So it's folded, it's pressed, it's darned, it's put into a hanger and a size. And I mean, it's, you would not even believe it whatsoever. It looks like a consignment shop, an upscale type of clothing store for sure. And people do smile when you walk in the door. They are welcoming there. It's extremely overwhelmingly organized. I mean, there's no chaos whatsoever. And the kids are having fun. They have a play area in the back. And you know, if you give a child a toy and then they have to leave and they can't take the toy with them, oh no, they have the opportunity to take that book and they have the opportunity to take that toy. So they're not feeling without. You know, they're feeling very much, as Nicole had said, a loved. And you can see it when you walk in the door that they're welcome there and that they want this to be the best experience possible so that that child, when that child or that family walks away, because it is generational, that's the unfortunate part. It's very generational, but this is a way to transform and get to the other side. So you don't have to have that feeling that walks with you when you leave, that yes, you are a regular type of person. Yes, you do have a new backpack to go back to school because there's a whole opportunity for that that they have created a few years ago so that a child has a backpack and supplies. Yes, you do have a new, brand new Christmas present. And oh, by the way, it just happens to be a scooter. So it's not a throwaway by any means. They have done an incredible job of elevating the thought process of what it feels like to go to something that perhaps you may be shameful of. Perhaps the circumstances have turned things around. So yesterday you were making a lot of money and today you don't have a job. But they've done everything possible in order to make that open to anyone who lives in Arizona. Anyone. So kudos. I was very impressed the first time I walked in. Very impressed.
That speaks volumes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would you have to add?
I would have to add, as Nicole, I always love the point of elevating the people because we are there for the people. We're there to serve. We're very blessed to work with some of the most amazing, dedicated volunteers in the state and that come and serve of their time weekly, several times a week, be on call for us with cancellations. But it's the people that walk through the door. And one of our guests just recently, Eloise, told me, she said, Heidi, she told me in Spanish, and it brought tears to my eyes. She said, Heidi, when I walk through the door, I know the people are loved. And, you know, in all the busyness of running it and directing it when we are open, I do try and sit with the guests and just hear their stories. And I share the stories with Nicole and Lauren, you know, also for grant writing purposes. But just to, this is the backbone of who we are in. And this is why we wake up and we do what we do. And, you know, like Nicole said, it's elevating them. So to me, it's not just providing basic needs to those people. It's like a holistic approach. Okay, so we will give you your basic needs of food, clothing, hygiene items, baby items, but we also have a resource wall. So Nicole has worked for about a year putting together amazing brochures on housing, employment, healthcare, other food resources so that we can provide those to our guests. And then we have a resource binder. So what else in the community can we align with so that we can provide more resources for our people? And then we also have a lobby TV that we use slides and create slides of community events, job fairs, devotion, since we are faith-based, and, you know, just other informational things, our policies, but it's really like, how can we help somebody? And so we, you know, there's lots of hugs and lots of, you know, wonderful stories shared because, again, we are faith-based. So when we check people in, we do offer them prayer. We keep very specific notes on our people. So if somebody comes to the desk and, you know, good morning, Helen, how are you? Okay, let's look over notes. I see last month you said that you wanted prayer, that your mother was in the hospital. How's she doing? So to know that we're not just a center, where it's like coming home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we love that, to take that extra few minutes and to connect with people. And whether they come one time and we never see them again, or they come every month, you know, it's about that connection while they're there. And we even, we have a homeless population because we work with a lot of the working poor and homeless. And I can tell some of those homeless people probably haven't been spoken to in weeks, if not months. You know, they'll say, you know, thank you so much. I know people care, because it's not only, okay, you shopped and you've gotten everything you needed. Well, we have, you know, some tubes of sunscreen, I know, in the other room, or lotion, because I notice your son is dry from being out in 115 degrees day after day. Or, you know, so you're constantly thinking, how can I help you? And so that's really, you know, and to see that, wow, somebody cares and you've given that glimpse of hope and that glimpse of inspiration to them is, to me, like what it's all about. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
I was to add what Heidi is saying, it's about relationships, right? What is life about? It's about relationships. I mean, right? We have those closest to us, our family, our close friends. I have friends all over the country. Who do we stay in touch with? So it's about meeting our guests where they're at and saying, hi, I'm Nicole. If you want to go fast, we'll get you out of here. But I'd love to just, how'd you hear about us? And start a conversation and build that relationship where, how do you mention the notes that we take? Because we want them to come back and be like, I remember your name. And they're blown away. Like, you said my name? It's, well, of course I did. It's right here. Like, I'll say it again. You know, so we have fun with them. But then once we get to be friends, true friends, then we can say, okay, Karen, you said you're going to go to that job fair. Did you go? You know, you can kind of hold them accountable too. You said your kids needed this. And a lot of times they just don't have that support system. So we end up being a small piece of that support system to say, once we know you in love, say, all right, come on, let's get at it. Let's get out there. You don't want to stay here. You want to elevate your family. You want to do better for your family. And sometimes they have nobody saying that to them in their life. So it's like, it's almost foreign. It's like, okay, kind of be their cheerleader, right? And kind of like, all right, we've done this. We've given you the tools. Now you got to go and do this. And then, hey, yeah, we want to hear about when you come back. Because that drives us, right? When we hear the success stories of, where we don't see you for a while. What, you don't like us? You don't come back in 6 months? And so we kind of, you know, we have fun with them. Like, oh no, I'm doing good. No, that's okay. Yeah. We like that too. We want to hear, well, you know, that you got a job and you're doing well. And maybe we'll see you at Christmas again because, you know, bills get tight during holidays. But those are the things that are okay. And we can celebrate that together because nobody's celebrating them. If they have no support system, hey, I got a job. It's like them in the room, right? Yay. Okay. You know, and they're nervous and they're scared. I was working a shift this past weekend and a lady got into a new program for college, but she's about 40. She's like, I'm just scared. I haven't gone to school in 25 years. Like, I know I can do it, but I'm really, really nervous. But I know this program will elevate my family, get my kids where we got to be. So she's doing the right thing. So it was me for 5 minutes saying, you can do this. And it's just a stranger, right? You can do this. Let's do this. And hey, if you want to come back here and we'll cheer you on and tell me about the program. Because no one else is listening to them, right? So just kind of making that connection and build that relationship.
Well, and purpose. So, for example, there was this one gentleman, a story that we do tell when we're writing, who came in, but he had been homeless and he had lost his job and he had addiction problems. But he kept thinking about his daughter and he wanted to get back with his daughter. And so they were able to help him not only find a job, get him clothes to be able to be prepared and look right for the job. And then all he needed to focus on was A, getting the job, B, finding a place to live, and getting back to his daughter. And the end of the story was he did all of those things. He was working very, very hard because he had a place that managed to say, here's a leg up. Here's a way that we will help you get back on track. You have to do the work, but we want you to succeed. And he did. Yeah. And so many, many stories, both Heidi and Nicole can tell you more and more stories about all of the ways that the people that have walked through their doors have said thank you. Now they're paying it forward and they come back and be volunteers.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I love what you said earlier, Lauren, too, about the children. For those kids who are born into the situation or have watched it happen as they've gotten older, unless we give them the support, the accountability, and the love that's needed and the faith, then it'll repeat itself. So even just this beautiful example of this man who needed a job and his motivation, his inspiration was his daughter. She got to see that hard work, that effort, that willingness to shift and turn his life around and will not likely repeat that cycle. So obviously what you're doing is incredible. And it's funny when you talked about the recession, I remember volunteering in different kitchens when my daughter and son were young. They're now in their 20s. And before the recession, I really would go volunteer, and I felt this distinct difference, however naive that is, I felt this distinct difference between myself and the people we were serving, the guests that were there. Post-recession, it had been several years since we had served, and we were serving, and I was in tears a good portion of the time because, first of all, there were that many more people, to your point earlier, and I also thought, my gosh, these people are no different than I am. Now, granted, they weren't any different than me pre-recession either. Right. Naivety, whatever, immaturity, whatever that is. But also, I think that many more of the people here in the Arizona, Metro Phoenix area specifically, were in greater need. And I had gone through some really difficult times financially as well. And it was on my heart, like in any day, I think you had mentioned it, Heidi, any day, this could be me. I could lose my job. I could lose my house. I could end up in a divorce situation that left me with whatever an illness, whatever those things are that force us into a situation like this, It's there. So how beautiful that you are here to give them the love, the kindness, the compassion, the respect, the dignity, everything. Yes. And it's what I'm hearing in each of what you're describing, it's the little attention to detail. Mm-hmm. And while we have to, and Heidi, you mentioned it, while we have to do our job and we have to do the thing that we're here to do, we can do it with grace and we can do it with love. And that takes a little bit of extra effort, doesn't it? It's all about relationships, as Nicole
has said.
I think
it takes a lot of extra effort.
I agree. I do agree. You have to be very intentional with what you're doing.
And that's what you got to change society, right? Because you walk outside and no one does it. So it's like, hey, someone gets cut off in traffic. It's like, hey, love, just love for a moment, you know? So it's the message that we have to kind of preach over and over. And we'll get brand new volunteers every shift. It's the same message over and over again. Hey, take the time. You're not here to push the cart and fill the cart and get this person in and out. That's not what we do here. We're here to encourage you as a volunteer, have a conversation. Walk them to their car. If they want to talk more, absolutely. Make a new friend. Smile. And it's harder for, I always kind of pick on our teenage boys that come and serve and volunteer. We have worked with a lot of different schools. And so they'll get their service hours for class and, you know, NHS, student government. And, you know, they're just kind of unsure of themselves anyway. So it's kind of a fun age to be around. But it's like, you can smile. It's okay. And like, okay, ma'am, you know, but that's okay. Like, be laid back, be smiling. And then to put different age groups together. So I've got a 16-year-old boy next to a 9-year-old grandpa. And now they're having community. Now they're saying hello. Now they're figuring out their different world. So again, it's kind of just breaking down all those barriers, whatever they look like, and just being real, like you said, intentional with, no, we're going to go above and beyond today. For these 2.5 hours while we're open, it's game on. It's love these people. And sometimes they yell back at us. You know, it's not always, you know, the most pleasant moments, but if we respond in love, then everybody's watching that. And that's what we get comments over and over again. And they might come up to the desk to get checked in. And I might say, hey, do you want to pray for anything. No, I'm good. Everything else good. I'm good, Nicole. Okay. But you know what, Nicole? You handled that prior guest who yelled at you really, really good. And that just reminds us, oh, people are always watching. So I might not be even talking to you right now, but you're in the lobby, you're hanging out. So how we respond, every single response, people are always watching. And that is what I think really makes us different. So if our volunteers can have that, then that just trickles down. Hopefully it goes into society and we're all doing that a little bit better.
The ripple effect, of course.
You know, but that's where it all stems from. Yeah, you have to.
And this is a huge caveat. They have almost 1,300 volunteers.
Oh my gosh.
That's huge for an organization.
So
that means they're doing something right.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, I want Nicole to tell you about a program she started called Sprouts, because it was for the littlest among us to be able to learn how to become a volunteer.
Okay, so yes, tell us about Sprouts, yes. And then I want to make sure that we're talking about, you know, volunteers and how do people get
involved. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So by default, my children were full-time volunteers 9 years ago when they were 2 and 4. So I probably have overserved my children at this point, but they're healthy and well, that we're all doing good. But about 3 years ago, we launched our Feed One program. So our Feed One program is about neighbors feeding neighbors. So we do have 3 locations in the Valley. We are in Chandler, so that kind of fuels and feeds the East Valley. We're in West Phoenix, which is Maryville, and then the North Phoenix area, which is right on the border of Paradise Valley and Scottsdale area over there. So we're trying to kind of cover a lot of gaps in the Valley where people are food insecure and need that assistance. But we really want you to kind of fuel and go volunteer and serve your local HCC. So Feed One was launched to do that. Hey, there's a neighbor within miles of you where you live that actually you can feed every month. You just don't know them. You've never driven down that road, but they actually live very close to you. And for $28 a month, we ask you to feed one family every month. So as a Neighbors Feeding Neighbors program, which we still have going on, we have several hundred Feed One partners because we want to do this as a community. We don't want to be HCC drives us and we raise money just to no. The government does not fund us. They do not give us food. So we do raise everything. We want the community to have ownership of HCCs and really kind of show their love by that Feed One program. Well, when we launched Feed One for $28 a month, my kids were about 8 and 10 at that point said, well, Mom, I can do $28 a month. And of course, then the other child says, well, I could do it if you can do it. And I, well, of course you both can. And that was really the start of our Kids Feeding Kids program. And again, I'm a prior teacher, so kids are amazing. We limit kids every day. I wish I wouldn't do that, but I do it as a mother as well. Let's let kids be entrepreneurs. Let's get kids have their own kid businesses. Let's see what they can do. Let's see what their ideas are. And let's let kids feed kids. I'm very discouraged. 1 in 4 kids are hungry in Arizona. That was the same number I was given 9 years ago when we launched our very first center. So I go back to all the big guys in the state and say, hey, why is it still 1 in 4 kids? According to your data, we're feeding more food's going out the door. There's more programs out there, but it's still 1 in 4 kids. So that just breaks my heart. I'm a mom of 2. We serve kids every single day. So you know what? Kids got to be part of the solution because clearly us adults aren't figuring out how many generations later. Let's let kids have a piece of the pie. Let's let them have some ownership. Let's teach them some leadership skills, some social interaction skills through volunteering, through serving, through launching their own business and how to earn a dollar, how to budget money. So there's a massive lessons that goes with this program, but Serving Sprouts, what we called it, and Sprout stands for small people reaching out unselfishly to serve. And it's all about serving and volunteering. So be in your community doing something. And it's not even always HCC. We want to actually plant seeds in other nonprofits and other areas where there's hurt and need. So actually just this past weekend, we served with our Sprouts at a place called Ben's Bells that make bells, and they hide them like a scavenger hunt style in the community. And it's all about sharing kindness and you know, being a kind of in a different way. We want to actually just expose our Sprout families to different nonprofits because that might be where then their sweet spot is. I'm very aware of feeding people might not be every kid's, you know, most favorite thing to do. That's not my jam. All right, let's try to find that, because my heart is get involved doing something. So we actually expose our Sprouts once a quarter to other nonprofits on purpose, which they might actually leave us. That's okay, because you're doing something, right? And then as a Sprout family, those kids earn $1 at a time to feed another kid. And we're making the connection of there's a kid who's 8, who's just like you, who you're going to feed this month. And then you can come volunteer in our centers on the weekends and you can actually serve those kids. So they're actually face to face with other kids. And like you said, we all look alike. You know, you would never know it walking on the street. So to teach kids that before they grow all these bias and stigmas, you know, and stereotypes, you know, how can we actually have the education piece kind of planted, hopefully? And once the kids learn, honestly, they teach the parents. That was the kind of cool thing that kind of I wasn't expecting. Parents are like, wow, I never knew this was down here. I never knew the need was so great. My kids are coming here for field trips now. And they're like, you got to go in there, mom. And they're fired up. That gets mom and dad fired up. And ultimately, again, so the next generation, not just those who are poor or hungry, we want to raise up next generation who actually are like, you know, warriors. And they're out there saying, yeah, there is this problem and I know about it. And they're like, well, you're like 15. How do you know about it? Oh, I've been doing it for 10 years already. You know, let's have kids like that who are then just like diving into maybe the community minded, you know, atmosphere of our community here of saying we're going to make a difference and we are going to end hunger. Because I know we're not going to end hunger. You know, in my lifetime, I don't think that's going to happen. So if we can, you know, the next generation, maybe the one after that, maybe they can. Let's give them the hope to do that. So Feed One, Serving Sprouts program, two amazing ways to be intentional parents, intentional grandparents of, hey, we want to get our kids involved. And we let kids from 2-year-olds get involved. So a lot of places you can't even go with younger kids. We let kids 5 to 12 come volunteer, serve the general public with mom or dad or parent or guardian side by side. So they are their watchdog, you know, during that public shift while we're serving general public. But it's because hands-on. How do we learn the best? I'm a visual hands-on learner, so I just kind of do that with all I do. And once the kids do it, they think it's a fun, you know, like field trip for them that morning. Like, you know, it's like going to the water park. Oh, we're going to go serve. And the shopping carts make it fun. And it's a grocery store. So they have fun, but they're learning the whole time that they're there too. So I love this program because now we've seen kids 3 years in it. Two are my own children, yes, but their hearts begin to change. And to see a kid after 6 months, now they just automatically, they're more giving. They become givers. And like, well, I saw that kid, mom. They actually need my 50 cents. They actually need this extra quarter. And where is my Sprout envelope where I collect all my money? Because I want to go drop more money in there because I want to feed that, you know, family where I'm like, no, that's your blow money. That's your spending money. Like, you earn that. And they're like, no, mom, like, hello, they're hungry. And I'm like, okay, you know, like I kind of sit there like frozen the first time, like, what do I do as a mom? Do I take this dollar? And, you know, and their hearts have been transformed. Like, and so that's if we can transform some hearts along the way and they're volunteering and serving and doing good. And, you know, that's kind of a win-win, right?
Win-win-win-win-win-win-win. And I have to say that I felt Mitchell as you were describing the way that the children teach and lead us.
Sure.
You spoke to it being kind of this, you know, thing that you hadn't even thought of. And I felt your brother and his presence because it was kind of one of those like, okay, well, right. That's how this all started, right?
Yeah.
His kind heart and his loving nature and the family rallied around. How do we turn this tragedy into something that really can create legacy? So clearly you're doing that and in amazing, amazing ways. Yeah. Heidi, can you tell us a little bit about how volunteers can get involved?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. So I schedule about 250 people per month between our Maryvale and Northeast Phoenix location. Chandler operates independently, so they schedule their own volunteers. So the best way is to go onto our website, harvestcompassioncenter.org. You will see a Get Involved tab. Click on that, and then just look for the online volunteer application. Fill that out, submit it. It will come directly to me. I will send back a standard response that just goes through how things run, policies, you know, just more detailed information. And then from there, we'll get into scheduling. So someone can either, emails is best, so someone can either email me directly at hdwigun@hccfeed1.org. Or I do send out a monthly update that has available dates for both Phoenix and Maryvale. So once I have that online application, I take that applicant's email address, put it on a spreadsheet of 1,300 people, and then they receive that monthly update, and then we go ahead and fill the slots that way too.
Yeah. And on that same website, if we're, I'm East Valley, I'm Chandler. So we can get to the Chandler location and find out how to get in touch with
them as well. If you just go to harvestcompassion.org, then that's our landing page and you'll see, pick the HCC closest to you and you can choose then the Chandler location.
Very good.
And we can get you plugged in on there. Yes. Because if you are in East Valley, we want you to stay in East Valley.
Sure.
We don't want you to have to drive an hour to go volunteer on a Saturday morning. Make it easy, right? So make it easier for wherever you are. And I think if it's easy, then you'll actually do a lot more too.
Yeah, agreed.
And we have a couple different opportunities. So Maryvale is open Tuesdays, Fridays, Saturdays. Phoenix is open Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. The volunteer shifts are 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. But if you have a group that's, and I usually schedule about 10 people per shift, but if somebody has a group, a company, another organization, nonprofit, a church, a sports team, a scout troop, you know, a women's group, men's group, that wants to come and volunteer. If it's 10 or under, they can come during the shift. If it's a larger number, we can either break that number apart and do different shifts, or they can come in when our centers are closed. So for instance, I just had two groups last week, had a wonderful church group Thursday evening, about 30 people. It was mainly families come, and we'll have different projects around the center that we'll have them help with. Had another group of attorneys come last Friday morning. But what we typically will ask is to bring a certain minimum number of grocery bags filled with a donated item. So that will become the work and then whatever other projects we have around the center.
It's a great segue because I was going to ask about donations, both not only food as well as clothing and toys and books and that sort of thing. So can y'all speak to that? Where do the donations come from? Because you had mentioned that this is not funded. It's not a government funded program. So let's talk about donations and then we'll talk about funding as well.
Yes, absolutely. So our clothing boutique is 100% clothing items donated from the local community. So again, find your local HCC that's closest to you. And the donation hours are the same hours as our open hours to the public. We are a 501c3, so we have receipts available just like any other donation drop-off store would have. So we're able to give you that. And we're going to sort those donations. We're going to launder them, like Lauren mentioned, and make them look brand new again for all of our guests. And we need your clothing items. We need your gym shoes and your jeans. Yes, Phoenix will get cold at some point in the year. So jeans, please, and gym shoes. We cannot keep those on our shelves. A lot of times we do have limits. So it might be one pair of men's jeans and women's jeans and kids per family because we are just running out of jeans so fast or gym shoes so fast.
So jeans and gym shoes are the need.
Those are the top two items that we always run out of the fat. And gym shoes are for anyone, for women, men, or kids. And just imagine a kid going to school in old shoes or flip-flops when it is December. So again, those gym shoe items, I mean that, and you can go to $5 to a local store and it doesn't have to be anything special, you know, or fancy. We do get very nice items. And again, our guests are blown away. But if you can have some new items donated, please do that. I always look for like the clearance section. I actually did this at the store about a month ago and the ladies at the store were like high-fiving me because I bought about 100 pair of shoes. Thank you for clearing off the clearance rack. We want to get rid of that thing. Man, lady, who are you? I said, because I bought every size there was. And they're like, wow, you got a big family. And I'm like, no, it's just for the local clothing bank. And I played it. You're like, oh, cool. Took a picture. So we post about it. So it's like, hey, they cost from $2 to $4 a pair of shoes. So I'm like, hey, I'm here. I walked in for a reason. So I'm going to buy these shoes. And then also, yes, food drives and hygiene drives and baby drives. So we really ask more for the hygiene drives and maybe the baby items such as diapers and wipe drives, because those items, we are purchasing those outright from big box partners that we have. So we get a huge discount, but those are items that are just as important as the food because a lot of food banks don't do those items. When I was doing my research 9 years ago, the shampoo and the toothpaste were considered luxury items. I was like, luxury items? I'm sorry. It's a toothpaste. It's a toothbrush. And they're like, yes, but we don't have a lot. So today they're luxury items and you get to choose one. So that was a really simple decision I made. If it's a toothbrush or toothpaste, hello, common sense, they go together. We're going to have both. And we're not going to give you pieces of what you should use when you get ready in the morning. Let's have everything. So we really want to have Q-tips. We want to have lotions. We want to have baby lotion. Diapers and wipes are gold. That is an item that we always need year round. It is hard to get from the state for free if those who are on assistance, and then large size diapers. So diapers size 4, 5, and 6 or pull-ups and baby wipes. If you have any connection and you hear this, please come in and see us. We are partners with the local diaper bank. That's a huge blessing and partnership, but it doesn't cover even a fraction of what the demand is out there. So do a diaper drive. Super easy, because if you give one item to collect, then it's really easy. Everyone's like, oh, great, diapers. All right, pick up one pack. Toothbrushes, go to a dollar store, pick up 5. So make it, again, very simple for people to get involved. And then those drives come in all year round. There's not a certain timetable that we only have drives. Every day of the year, we will collect your product and you can come on in. And again, you can come in as a group and put it on the shelf. We're going to let you stock the shelves. We're going to let you be a part of that whole process. And hopefully then you want to come back as a volunteer and then help give away your items that you donate. And I think that is when it clicks. And that's when you're like, wow, I just saw someone take a toothbrush who was like, wow, I get a toothbrush today. And then we don't really get to understand what that is until you see it happen. And then you're like, okay, I'm in. I'm sold. This
is supply and demand. So now I watched that toothbrush that I donated go away. And now I'm like, okay, well, what about the next guy?
Right back out the door. Yeah. Absolutely. It is. We are serving on average over 750 families a month. So that's families. That's over 5,000 people that we're feeding every 30 days. So yes, if you go to the store and you bring me 200 toothbrushes, I will say thank you so much. But I kind of want you to do it again next month too, because they're going to be gone in about 2 weeks.
And to your point, brushing teeth and washing hair, those are the things that make us feel, you used the word normal earlier. If I forget to brush my teeth, I'm 2 hours in, I'm pulling over to a convenience store to buy one because I can't stand the way I feel and I don't feel good. Yeah. Same thing with my hair if I don't have the right product. So these are not luxuries at all.
No. And the same thing about putting on a clean shirt. You know, why do we wash our clothes and have volunteers who are amazing, who come and iron every single wrinkle shirt?
I hadn't even thought about that aspect of volunteering, the laundering and the darning.
You can come in there and you can sit down and you can iron. My mom never taught me that, so I can't do that volunteer station. But just to have something clean, again, it's that I feel dignified, I feel complete. And it's not always a job interview. It's not always I'm going to a wedding or a special event. It's I'm going to my kids' school and I have a teacher conference and I want to have a clean shirt. The luxury of having clean clothes, that's a luxury. And again, you don't understand that until you're maybe in some centers or some areas where everyone kind of smells a little bit. Well, that's because they're clean. Their clothes haven't been laundered in 2 weeks.
Excellent point.
You know, so we go above and beyond in having that clean shirt. They can change in our bathroom. They can change in their car, you know, and they can, again, feel dignified and have their head, you know, hold their head up high when you walk into your kid's school at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So yes, those make you feel complete and dignified. So we try to do those.
One of the other things that Nicole realized early on with the homeless population is they don't need a full-size tube of toothpaste. They can't manage to carry it. And so the other part that if you happen to travel a bit, you know, utilize what they have given you of the shampoo and the conditioner.
I was picturing that too. I was just in a hotel in California this week and I thought, well, what about the little travel size things?
And they will put them in a plastic baggie so that somebody can take the size that they need and put it in their own backpack. Mm-hmm. And they too can feel that they are clean because now they have the shampoo and the toothpaste and the smaller travel size versions that will fit within what they need to have because they are not living in a permanent situation.
Right. Lauren, tell us a little. Go ahead.
Excuse me. I was just going to speak to that, Karen. Yes. Sorry to interrupt you. Yep. I think we're always learning about our guests' needs. And so we notice that our guests were going through and passing by cans, some of our guests, I should say. And it was, okay. And we never want to assume, you know, someone is homeless or even ask. So we just, in a roundabout way, we'll try to discover, you know, the situation. And so it's just, well, sir, if we were to give you a can opener, would you choose the cans? Yes, I would. Absolutely. You know, I live on the streets. I don't have this. It's a golden item. Okay. So now we have a bucket of can openers that when we notice, you know, men and women passing by it, you know, we can offer it to them. So, and then another thing is, okay, great. They can come in and get clean clothes as far as a shirt, pants, socks. But what about your undergarments?
I was wondering, you know, that as well.
Right. So, and well, they're dirty. I have no means of washing them. So now we have Ziploc bags of undershirts, underwear, socks, all by size, all ready to go. So, okay, well, what's your size? If I give you a fresh new bag, you know, will that help you? Absolutely. So now they're going into our bathroom and changing out of these grungy, you know, especially 112 degree day, you know, clothes and putting on fresh undergarments and fresh clothes and, you know, and just feeling dignified and human again. So we are always learning about their needs and trying to, you know, supply all of those things so that, you know, they have everything, you know, to make them healthy and clean. And
what Heidi said was key. We don't assume what people need. And I think that's what a lot of, unfortunately, nonprofits do because they have a great heart and cause. But if you don't talk to who's walking in the door, if I'm giving you something, you don't need it. Well, you're going to toss it. So, you know, if we're giving them full-size shampoo, like Lauren mentioned, well, they're going to throw that away. So now we're wasting product. So again, taking the time. Okay, do you need a flashlight at night because you're living in the, you know, the park? Yes. Well, the flashlight needs batteries. So again, just kind of really breaking it down to every single thing. And then families, do you need a backpack for school? I've been asking for 2 years, Nicole. We still need backpacks. We need school supplies. I'd love to have a Christmas toy for my kids. So we do these things now. Not we didn't do it year one, you know. Sure. We've taken years to develop what those buckets of items look like because we don't want to assume. We're not going to just, you know, spend our money or you know, waste any funding on things that, oh, Nicole thinks we need it, so I need it. No. It's because Greg, who lives on the corner of, you know, 24th and this, he actually came in a dozen times. He still needs this item. And those kids that come in for about 4 years now straight, Nicole, hey, every July, they're asking for backpacks. Do you think we should maybe like try to do something about that? And oh, toys, you know, I had one old dingy used toy and I'm crying with a mom for the last time. And that was when I was like, you know what? I'm done. I want to be able to have a new toy for a kid on December 20th every single year. So now we do toy drives. We do school, you know, back to school, but you know, drives. But again, we're not going to do anything that our community hasn't asked for. And if they stop asking, then we will adjust as well.
It goes back to that intentionality and relationships. Right. Mm-hmm. You have to be present and listen to Heidi's point and pay attention. What is the need? And how great that your volunteers likely come to you and say, I've noticed X, Y, Z. Can we do this? And then it can become this project together. Right. So intentionality as well as relationships. You've got to know who they are. I'd imagine psychologically too, right? If I'm giving somebody something and I'm thinking that it's helpful, I'm really taking care of my needs and my ego, and I'm less concerned about how that lands for that person and how it best supports them. So you're fixing those issues and really making it about, obviously, the people that you serve and the community that you serve.
And last year, there were over 36,000 individual people they served.
Gosh.
And what happens is you come in once a month. So you're not coming in every week. And we don't collect a lot of information. We just want to make sure that you live in Arizona, basically, and the number of people who are in your household. So we can give you the right clothing items in particular. But that's over 36,000 people that have come in that have a need.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
Lauren, tell us if Harvest Compassion Centers qualify for the Arizona tax credit.
I will let Nicole speak to that since I'm actually newer here and we didn't have that in Utah.
Ah, okay.
So. Can I scream yes? Yes. Yes, we are. A partner with a local government here of Arizona, Arizona State Tax Credit. Honestly, this is the program that other states are jealous of. So take advantage. Your state taxes can feed families tomorrow because the beauty of it is you make a donation at our website, again, harvestcompassion.org. Under the Donate tab, you'll see Arizona State Tax Credit. There's a whole Q&A there as well. So if you're not really sure what the program is, jump on our site. It will connect you to the state government site for more questions if you have it. But you make your either $400 donation if you follow as a single or a $800 donation if you file as a married couple. And then that money we get immediately, right? That's in our bank account immediately. So we get to go spend that immediately and buy more food. And what's what we're doing? We're buying food and hygiene product for that. And then at tax time, you get that check back that says, here's $800. Now, I didn't trust it. until 5 years ago, I said, I got to do it first. I did not talk about it. We secretly did it, you know, under the table and just submitted the form and we got our money back. I was like, to my husband, hey, we got $800 back. That's kind of a party right there. So you literally are feeding multiple families for free. So those who have reservation, it's just because you don't know about it. You're not informed about it. I just encourage you to dive into the websites. You can go on so many different websites and read more Q&As about it. But honestly, and if you only have a tax return of $125, great. You don't need to max out either. You can max out. We're in the general category. So 400, 800 are the caps that you can get out. That's the max. Now, if you do foster care, that is a higher max of 500 and 1,000. So be careful on who you're giving to so you don't miss, you know, you don't give to us 1,000 and then you only get $800 back. So be very careful on that. You can contact us anytime. We'll walk you through that. But it is just such an easy way. And we need the whole state of Arizona to do this. Only about 5% of the state actually takes advantage of this program. The state doesn't really talk about it because, of course, they want to keep their money. I always say, do you want to build a road in Tucson or do you want your tax money to feed a family in your neighborhood? Yeah. I pick my neighborhood because I live there. So absolutely, it's an easy way. A lot of people like to do it by year-end giving. So the end of the year, you want to go ahead and get that done before January 1. Feel free to do that, but you can actually do it until tax day. So every April, they've extended that. You have until the following April to claim the prior year's tax return on that and still get a full refund back. So I can't shout that loud enough to folks about Arizona tax credit and just to take advantage. And another really cool part of the program, which I love the state for doing, this is the only state program that we actually participate in. So this is the only part that we get to benefit from Arizona or from the federal government, such as FoodWise, is you can give to multiple nonprofits. You can give to your kids' public school. You can give to their private school. You can give to us and you can give to a foster care. So you can actually like mix up your money pot and give 100 to them, 100 to them. You know, Oprah, you get 100, you get 100, you know. So again, we're not trying to say, oh, give it only to Harvest Compassion. We'd love if you chose us. But I understand, like my kids go to public school. I want to give something to their school because I love their school. I want to support their teachers. You know, I'm a prior teacher. We need support in the classroom. However, I do want to feed families too. So again, kind of maybe like make it a family decision. Sit down as a couple or even your kids and figure out, you know, where do they want to give that money to? Because you're going to get 100% of that back. And it is just brilliant. So we need to keep doing it because the state can actually pass to not have it anytime they want. So again, if we all kind of buy in and do it, it's just going to elevate and show our state that, hey, we do want to support the nonprofits and the schools in our state. Let us go ahead and kind of have ownership of that.
Mm-hmm. Really well put. So talk to me, Lauren, about grants and what is the need as you've gotten to know this group and this organization and the families that they serve. How can we help you do what you're doing on behalf of Harvest Compassion Centers?
We graciously and gratefully accept any donation. That's where it starts. I mean, Nicole was talking about $28 to feed one. And that was the whole mission, to be able to make sure that they had this for $28, a shopping experience where they come in and they can get this recyclable bag of food and they can go and get the clothing that they need for their household only for $28 a month. So we will accept graciously any amount of money. Of course, we take a look at all the opportunities that there are here, and we're very excited about the community. It's a giving, very, very giving community. I've been here now long enough to take a look and get into all the pockets where the monies are, from the banks to the insurance companies and to law firms on more of a corporate side. But gratefully, there's the Arizona Community Foundation, where there are other individuals that we don't necessarily know, but we've already spoken to them passionately about what we do, so that if a family wants to have a private foundation and want to know who they should give to, that actually where the money is going to go directly, over 80% of the monies go directly to the program. So it's very, very thin on the numbers of people. There's like 3 full-time people and a couple of part-time people. So that's it. Really, our volunteers are the backbone of making it work. So the money's not going to go to this bottom line administration. It's going to go to feed and clothe those people. So we made that very clear with the foundation, the community foundation. And then we look for any opportunities that we possibly can. And the list has actually grown over this past last year. We will write letters of intent and we will go after grants probably, you know, 10 to 15 to 20 a month, because any monies that come in, we put right back out there to make sure that those shelves are filled and we can feed the people that come in. Mm-hmm. So yes, so we will happily, gratefully take anything. And to that point, if I may, there's going to be a huge fundraiser that's the first annual, we hope, that's going to take place in February of this year. And so it's going to end up being February 6th on a Thursday morning at 7:30 to 9. There's going to be this breakfast for Feed One, and it will take place at the Montero over at Westworld. So there are opportunities about it that are coming up for a sponsorship if you'd like, and if you wanted to be part of a table. So we're looking for table captains for $1,000 to be able to have people at your table, and we're looking for that main sponsor as well. So yes, we have about 90 to 120 days right now in order to get it in.
Very quickly,
and we have this huge, huge goal that we want to do over $100,000 for our first time out. So anybody that would like to get involved, we recommend it. It will certainly be information that we can send to you in a it's on the website as well. So,
and let me just add, AZTV, Channel 3 and 7, yes, is our media sponsor. Yay. So they are in and they are
very
amazing.
Good.
They are going to just shout us at this event from the rooftops. And we also have the Arizona Coyotes as a sponsor already committed.
Very good.
So months in advance of some really solid organizations who just love what we do, have been in our centers themselves and actually have served right side by side our volunteers. So, yeah.
And that's the other point that I would like to bring in. You have this conception and sometimes misconception of what a food bank is. When you walk in the door, they give tours. I recommend highly making the appointment to come in and see for yourself. It is not like anything else that I have ever seen. It's completely different. So yes, call us for a tour. Come in and bring your people. Call us for a tour.
Yes, very good. And so for donations, you mentioned that there's a donation tab on the website, whether it's for the Arizona Tax Credit or just a donation, a financial donation, our volunteers, of course. Mm-hmm. Tell me about where the food comes from. So we talked about the examples of personal hygiene items, but how does food land in your lap at these centers?
Yeah, so it is. It's a group effort. So we don't push food drives a lot, to be perfectly honest, because a lot of that food becomes off the street, we call it, and it's expired. Mm-hmm. So we do have some, you know, guidelines by the state that we have to make sure we're not making anyone sick and have putting quality product out there. Good. St. Mary's Food Bank, you've, of course, probably heard of them. That we are an agency partner of theirs. So we're actually shopping twice a week from them, and they are funneling a lot of food nationwide. And they help trickle it down to us little guys. I call them a big guy, and we're a little guy. And they really, as well as with United Food Bank in the East Valley, they help fuel Chandler. And then St. Mary's is our partner for Maryville and North Phoenix. Tucson has a big guy, and then Flag has a big guy. So the state has four major food banks, like those that I just said. And then there's about 450 of us little guys, little food banks out there where they try to get that food to us. So we are spending money with them. But it's a huge, huge discount, which the Feed One for 28. So partners like them, we need to go ahead and just, I mean, they are amazing at what they do, and the level of product that they're moving to so many of us and to the people, you know, of our state is just, I mean, we applaud them, you know, tenfold. So, and then also Midwest Food Bank. They're another one in the East Valley. We actually shop from them a couple of times a month as well. They are actually our nationwide system. They have about 10 plants around the nation right now. They are newer to the Valley, about a year now, and they're a great resource for food items. But, you know, things are kind of random in the food banking industry as well. They might not always have peanut butter. You know, that we, why don't you have peanut butter today? You've had it every single day for 4 months. So, you know, there's gaps. There's definitely gaps that we have to then, okay, this week we're low on this item. So I would suggest always checking out our social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. We are going to post those items out, and we'll just throw it out there. Hey, we need, you know, peanut butter. We are out of jeans. Right. You know, clean out your closets, or toothbrush sale. I shop at Fry's a lot, so whenever the cereal's on sale, I take a quick picture. I'm like, hey, $1.29 for a cereal box. We always need cereal. So just kind of, we try to, you know, blast that out so people can, you know, actually, you know, spend less money, and our dollar can go further every time. So those are our main food suppliers. And then, of course, we do have some food drives that come in. I think last year we had about 100 turkeys, frozen turkeys, donated from an individual family who said, hey, we want to provide Thanksgiving meat, turkey, for families. I'm like, what do you want to do? We want to go ahead and order 100 turkeys from the store. We're going to have them delivered. And so they worked out a deal at the store. So again, you know, be creative, I always say. You know, do what you want to do. Of course we can take, you know, 100 frozen turkeys. They'll be gone in 2 hours before they even remotely begin to thaw. They are out the door. They found a home, and you're providing Thanksgiving, you know, meals, you know, for those families. So just think about what's appropriate. And again, get creative. Who do you know? Do you know anyone at a grocery store? We have a couple local grocers. Bash's is one of them. Locations close to our individual brick and mortar centers who do give us some items on a regular basis. But that's all because of someone came in as a volunteer who's like, hey, I have a friend that works there. Mm-hmm. Okay, can you please go ask him about it?
Relationships.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last year, a grant was written. What was utilized with that money was to be able to buy coolers. So now we can take fresh fruits and vegetables and frozen foods and dairy and things that we couldn't take before that you don't assume is going to happen over at a food bank. So absolutely, you know, there's harvest that's happening. There are the markets that are happening on every Saturday. Buy those fresh fruits and vegetables and donate them because those are luxuries.
Or if you have an orange tree, right? Lemon tree.
Yes.
Because they sometimes they're like, I have 500 oranges. What do I do? Yeah. I said, pick them, please. Yeah. You know, and come bring them in. And we get bags out. I mean, it's awesome.
I'm working on a fig tree and a pomegranate tree right now. And I hear once they get going, I will have more than I will know what to do with. But now I know what to do with them. Mm-hmm. Heidi, any last thoughts from you? We're getting ready to close out this segment. What else have we not thought of? And obviously for the three of you, any last things that you would want our listeners to know?
Sure. Well, to thank them for listening, for sure. And we would love to get to know you and the guests again to contact our centers for more information. But we do have one other event prior to our breakfast event will be our toy drive, our Christmas toy drive in December. So we will start giving out toys early December and it will run until December 23rd. So any individuals who are interested in donating brand new toys, any churches, organizations, companies who would like to do a drive, we do have drive boxes that we can provide. Mm-hmm. If anybody would like to come and see take a tour and see exactly what we do. Again, I think once you come and see it, you really understand more. You know, we'd be happy to do that and then provide a drive box. So our office number where I work is the Phoenix office is 602-788-2444 to call for more information or to go onto our website.
Great.
And Heidi didn't say it. She actually wasn't here last December yet. Mm-hmm. 13,000 toys we gave away last December. So it's a controlled chaos in December. Mm-hmm. It's holiday magic. We all wear Santa hats because you got it. I mean, because the lines don't stop.
Sure.
Because families do want to provide Christmas, but they do want to pay their rent too. So it's such an easy way. Now we can, you know, scale it back a little bit, but it was just, it blew our minds last year. That was the fifth year we did it was last year. It was our sixth annual toy drive this year. And then 100% of those toys were donated. We did not purchase toys. Mm-hmm. We purchased food and hygiene and diapers. We don't buy toys. So this is the community clearly loving those in their community. And it was just like, it's just so much fun. It's like, oh my word, look at what just came in. Who are these people? And again, they're showing love to others. So come involved, especially during holiday season, because you're going to be blown away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that leaves me wondering how Heidi got involved. We already covered that in the beginning with Lauren, fairly new to the team. Tell us about how you landed here with Nicole and Harvest Compassion Centers.
Well, I think it stemmed from initially my church and doing mission work through my church for children in foster care, becoming familiar with a local organization, and then starting to work with them. So leaving more of kind of the business world and then going into nonprofit instead of doing it on a volunteer basis, doing it more professionally.
Yeah.
So then I was at that organization, again, helping kids in foster care for about a year and a half and became aware of Harvest Compassion Center. Met Nicole. She had come into our office. So when the opportunity came where the position was available, then
you know,
spoke with her about it.
Which was pretty funny because the previous director, Adri, left us to be a full-time foster mom. And then someone from a foster agency who we work with anyways came over to us. So it all worked out. And of course, we have to support everybody who wants to, you know, have foster kids. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a divine plan for sure.
Mm-hmm. Love it. again, I want to thank you guys for being here. It was just
thank
a phenomenal conversation. My pleasure. My mind is racing for introductions and how we're going to show up as a family and that sort of thing. So hopefully our listeners are doing the same thing. You mentioned that you are out there on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn as well, all under Harvest Compassion Centers?
Yes, Harvest Compassion Center, and then also HCC Feed One.
Okay, yeah. Great. And then the website one more time.
HarvestCompassionCenter.org.
All right. Thank you again, ladies, for being
thank
with
you.
Us today.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism, Arizona, Business Radio X Studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, this is Karen Owicki. Thanks for listening.